Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. A decades-long family feud, a much-loved CEO fired by the company board, and protests by loyal workers demanding that he be reinstated. That's been the story of the New England-based Market Basket supermarket chain for the past week, and the standoff continues today.
Protesting workers have given company owners until 4:30 this afternoon to reinstate ousted CEO Arthur T. Demoulas, or else they'll stay on the picket line and continue urging customers to boycott the business. Meanwhile, many Market Basket stores remain unstocked, and Arthur T. has launched a bid to regain control of the family business.
In a moment, we'll talk to a former Market Basket employee who was fired for skipping work to support the protests. But first, Tom Cohan. He's a labor economist at MIT. He wrote recently on WBUR's opinion blog Cognoscenti about all of this. He argues the Market Basket protests offer three important lessons to corporate America. And Tom Cohan, welcome to Radio Boston. Really good to have you.
Nice to be here, Anthony.
And listeners, we want you to join this conversation. What's your view of the Market Basket saga? Are you on the side of the protesting workers to reinstate their ousted chairman, Arthur T. Demoulas, or are they damaging their company beyond repair? Should they accept what is and get back on the job? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Twitter and Facebook at Radio Boston. And before I start with you, Tom, I want to mention that we did reach out to Arthur T. Demoulas and to the current CEOs of Market Basket to talk to us today, but both sides declined to comment at this point. So, Tom Cohan, first of all, before we get to these important lessons for corporate America, how unusual is this kind of protest and boycott, rank-and-file employees demanding the return of an ousted boss?
Well, this is really unprecedented. I can't think of another example like this in modern labor history. And the most interesting part of it is it's the broad coalition from high-level executives and middle managers to frontline clerks and people who stock the shelves and people who drive the trucks. That's really unusual. It goes way beyond anything we anticipated in labor relations in the past.
Really interesting. And so what does that tell you? Does that tell you that something is shifting or that this is there's real significance in this? And you make the point that corporate America needs to sort of take note of what's going on here. So let's tick through those lessons that you talked about on Cognoscenti. What's lesson number one?
Lesson number one is that corporate America better wake up, that the public and that employees value a culture in a company where people are respected, paid fair wages, and the company is competing both for their customers as well as for all the stakeholders, not just for the owners or shareholders. We've gone through a whole long couple of decades where corporations have been viewed as only instruments for shareholder maximizing wealth. What these employees are saying is, we matter as well, and we can really make this company successful. We've built it. We've made it work effectively, and we want to continue to do so and commit our energies with a boss that we trust and a boss who respects us.
Hmm. The second lesson that you write about, the protests reveal just how out of date and irrelevant and inadequate America's labor laws have become. I'm intrigued with that one. Say more about that.
Well, our labor law makes a distinction between hourly employees and managers and supervisors. Hourly employees are protected with the right for collective protests like this and to join unions and engage in bargaining. And managerial and supervisory employees don't have any of those protections. They're outside of the law. The law makes no sense in today's world where people need to work in teams, need to work together to really coordinate their efforts and provide the best quality service. These employees are stepping outside the law, taking enormous risks, as some have experienced, and I believe that's a lesson for the need to update and modernize our labor law.
Mm. And lesson number three, you say, is that the workers are sending, is the lesson that workers are sending to business schools across America.
Well, this comes close to home since I teach in a business school. And I think business schools have emphasized maximizing corporate profits for financial gain at the expense often of employees. And we need to put more energy into helping the next generation managers understand that you can manage in a way that is good for the shareholders or for the owners, good for customers, and good for employees. We've got lots of examples of companies like Costco in the retail food industry. Wegmans is a local example that we're experiencing here in the Boston area now. Southwest Airlines, Kaiser Permanente. Other organizations have demonstrated they can manage in ways that are good for all of these stakeholders. Hmm. That's what we should be teaching across our curriculum in business schools so that we start to meet the expectations that people have for organizations in society today.
So is the idea there that maximizing corporate profits can be done while treating employees fairly and paying them well? Or is the argument, hey, treat your employees right because it's the right thing to do?
It's both. There's a moral case for treating employees with respect and providing fair compensation and reducing inequality in the economy, but there's also a business case for it, that we can compete on the basis of holding wages down and costs down, and some companies do that. But you can also compete on the basis of high-quality service, high productivity for employees, afford to then pay them a very fair and competitive wage, and give them the kind of satisfying jobs that motivate them to go the extra mile for customers and for the organization. Mm. So that has been demonstrated in retail, in hospitality, in airlines, in manufacturing, that you can build and manage a company both for the shareholders and owners as well as for employees and be profitable. So that's the kind of organization that I think American workers and American customers respond well to, and we should be promoting.
Well, Tom Kohan, stand by if you don't mind, because I'd love to keep you in on this conversation. Listeners, we're talking about the Market Basket strike, the family saga that has divided this family-owned business for a long time, and what you think about it. Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. Where do you stand on this worker protest? And let me introduce Tom Trainer. He's a 41-year veteran of Market Basket. He was fired earlier this week from his job as district supervisor for participating in the rally. And Tom Trainer, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'd like to ask you about this. You know, a lot of people are surprised that employees are sticking their necks out to support their former boss. Tell me why. Why lose your job for Arthur T. Demoulas?
Well, and you've worked for a company for as long as I have, and you love going to work every day, and you love your customers, and you love everything you do. You love your boss. You're well compensated. And then all of a sudden, because some greedy millionaires decide they want to make a board shift and start taking money out of the company, which essentially would destroy the business model of the company, you know, I decided, hey, I'm going to take a stand. I'm not going to sit by and watch this just implode.
Yeah. And is that what, I mean, are you convinced of that? Explain the changes that have occurred in management or that you fear would be about to occur with management.
Well, first off, our company, as you guessed, Tom had said, you know, culture-based business. We have a tremendous family culture in our business. We promote from within only. Everybody starts at the bottom and learns the business from the way up. On the way up, so we don't take outsiders. We have no debt. We have we keep low prices because of that. We have a high productivity rate among our associates because, and our customer service levels are incredible. We've won, you know, for a regional company to get all kinds of accolades nationally, Consumer Reports, you name it. And then June 23rd, when they fired ATD and Bill Marsden and Joe Rockwell, they replaced them with two co-CEOs that are from the outside. And so immediately when they walked in the door, they changed the culture.
Hmm.
And they haven't been truthful with us.
Well, let me ask you this. I'd like to ask you this, Tom Trainer. Where does this go? Because, I mean, one could argue or ask, how long can Market Basket sustain this protest? I mean, you're losing millions of dollars a week. The shelves are empty. Customers are staying away. Where does this go?
Well, you know, without public support, this would be very difficult to do. But our customer base has been extremely supportive, extremely supportive. We knew we had a good, solid customer base anyway, but the scope of it is surprising even me.
Hmm. And Tom Kohan,
well, I would say
go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
If they continue to boycott, then I think we can sustain it for quite a while.
Tom Cohen, I'd like to ask you the same question. I mean, I appreciate the support and the sort of sentiment that you expressed in support of people like Tom Trainor. But if this protest goes on and on and on, doesn't this damage the company in a big way?
Well, the remarkable thing is that the only way for the company to survive and return to prosperity is for the top management, the owners, to regain the support and trust of the workforce, who will then in turn encourage customers to come back, and the customers will take their cue from the workforce. So the solution to this has to be that there's a truce in the short run where mm-hmm. employees would go back to work, but with a very clear guarantee that there'll be a restructuring of the company and a sharing of the ownership with people who really value what has made the company successful. That may be bringing RDT back. It may mean an employee stock ownership or buyout of the company, or some combination of that or other options. But the key is to not let this continue, because every day it continues, the company loses value. Now, for the owners who wanted to make the quick dollars, their incentive is to end this as quickly as possible, because every day that it goes on, the company becomes less valuable and they lose money. Mm-hmm. So their only real good option is to find a way to transfer ownership to people who really are committed to making this business model sustainable and successful in the future. And the employees are the key to that business model.
Let's take some calls. 1-800-423-8255. We're talking about the protests over the situation at Market Basket. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Groton. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for having this program. And I'm calling in support of RDT, and also I'd like to thank Mr. Trainor for what he's doing. I'm a long time customer. Actually, I was raised on Market Basket food. I'm 54 years old, and everybody that I know in my family and other families are boycotting them, and we'd just like to encourage all the Market Basket customers to keep boycotting. And actually, I've been calling my local Market Basket store to ask them if the management has hired back RDT, and if not, then I'm going to keep shopping elsewhere.
All right, so there's Mark from Groton supporting the boycott. Let me go to Michael, who's calling from Lexington. Michael, you're on the air.
Thank you. I support the current board, and that would be RDS. And reason being, I think the employees and the public are forgetting that RDT and his father lost a court case because of gross corruption back 10 years ago. And that's the reason that RDS and his family are the majority owners. It's a private company. They've been, as far as I know, the board has been trying to get RDS to do things for years, and he will not do them. And I think we got a spoiled former CEO who's probably a nice guy, and that Demoulas has been a great company and will continue to be a great company without RDS.
All right, Michael, I'm glad you put this idea on the table. Let me come to you with that, Tom Trainor, because, of course, I don't want to get too deep into the weeds of this long family feud, but, of course, there was a court.
This goes back to 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that's old news, you know. Yeah. And
but what about the argument that the court did rule against the side of the family that RDT represents?
Again, that's old news. That's years ago, and that's why it was the ownership that he describes, 50.5 versus 49.5. Hmm. And the reason it's been run by RDT side for the past 14 years is because RDS's sister-in-law, Raphael, shifted her allegiance to RDT,
yeah,
which she then again shifted back last June. But, you know, I mean, if you look at the track record of the company over the past 14 years, it's grown, the profits are up, the shareholders have gotten dividend payments after taxes over the last 10 years of $500 million. you know, so that's old news. I mean, that's...
Okay, I get it. So that's old news in the last 15 years. So the record of the last 15 years speak for themselves, you're saying.
Yeah.
Tom Cohan, let me come to you about this Arthur T's announcement yesterday that he wants to buy basically a majority of the shares and sort of take over control of the company. Does that sound like a sort of feasible proposal given the history of animosity within this family?
Well, one has to separate out the emotions from the rational thing to do, and that's very hard given the history. Emotionally, it's going to be very hard to work out a deal where RET buys out the company and buys out his relative shares. That would be in the interests of the company, and in fact, you could make a case that it's in the interests of RES and his branch of the family, because that's the way they'll get the best value for their shares. But it's probably only a start. Given that employees are a key to this, another piece of this could be RDT with an employee stock ownership plan or some form of shared ownership. That would strengthen the bond and make sure that the employees have some confidence in the future governance of the organization, even if something happens to RDT down the road.
Sure.
So I think it's a interesting proposal. I think it could be supplemented with a few other things around employee ownership. I think there has to be a short-term truce, as I said earlier, with a commitment to move to a restructuring so that they can all get back, welcome employees back, and celebrate the rebirth of Market Basket.
Tom Trader, finally to you, the corporate board, Market Basket's board, is meeting tomorrow in Boston. What would you like to see come out of that meeting?
Well, you know, the only thing we've ever asked of the board is to reinstate him with full authority. We're not asking for more wages. We're not asking for better benefits. And I think if that happened, you would see the company be restocked and turned around on a dime.
And how confident are you? Do you feel that that will? How confident are you that that could happen?
I can't see how they can ignore the company that they're supposed to be board of directors for is falling apart before their eyes and they're not addressing it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they have a responsibility, and their responsibility is to all of the shareholders, not just Arthur S's side. They're A shareholders and B shareholders, and they're responsible to both of those groups. And, you know, the company is losing millions of dollars a day while this boycott continues, and they're just turning their heads to it like it doesn't exist.
All right, well, that's...
At some point, I would think that's going to be negligence.
Yeah, some point. All right, well, that's Tom Trainer. He's a former Market Basket employee and protest leader. He was among the group of Market Basket employees who was fired. Tom Trainer, thanks for joining us, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
And Tom Cohan, MIT labor economist who published a piece recently on WBUR's Cognoscenti opinion page. Tom Cohan, thank you so very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Anthony.
And again, we did reach out to Market Basket's current board of directors, as well as to Arthur T. Demoulas. They declined to comment at this point. Stay with us. Coming up, the North Shore Livin', Brown Liquor Drinkin', No Good Rotten Band, Tiger Man Woe. I'm Anthony Brooks with Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.